Between now and next Friday, I will pray at least once a day for these workers, if you would. Okay, praise the Lord for that. Thank you. So tonight, maybe as you pray with somebody else, maybe, you know, if God impresses you to pray for any particular folks on this list, you can do so. Brother Paul has been heading this up for us for the last number of years now, and so he is doing a lot of running around. He was here Tuesday, or maybe it was Monday, and doing work in the building, and then he abruptly left, and they had some pretty big leaks up at the Carmichael Center, so he had to leave here and go there and work on a roof. They've been, I guess, working on that roof for a long time, trying to get it repaired, so always something fun to do. I guess the Lord just keeps us busy so we don't have idle time, because idle time is the what? Devil's workshop. So we don't want the devil around, so we need to stay busy, I guess. All right, there's a couple new names I want to add here tonight. We had called in today. Twyla Brown, a lot of you know Twyla. She is having, supposed to have knee surgery, but she's having some complications. And so she contacted us and asked if we would pray for her concerning that surgery and concerning the complications. Also, Anna Mae Saronin. Anna has lived in Cleveland for several years, but she still maintains her membership here. She's been faithful over the years to send her tithe here. She does attend church there in Cleveland. Of course, she is elderly now and has poor health. So we were contacted by Danielle, her granddaughter, and said that she's having a lot of trouble breathing. So if you would, pray for Anna Mae with her lungs. Also, we added on the military list, a name we had on before, and I think maybe I took it off. I should not have. Nikita Vaughn, no relation to me, was a bus rider here for several years. She's in the Air Force, and so I thought, well, you know what, we ought to put her back on. So if you would, pray for Nikita Vaughn. All right, we'll go ahead at this time, and if you have any special requests or any updates on anyone, we'll go ahead, and John will come around with the mic and let us know.
I just wanted to request prayer for Vernon tonight. Had him at Bridgeport Express Care today. He's having some swelling behind his right ear, like in the mastoid area. The PA wasn't real certain what he was dealing with, whether it was from an infection. It wasn't typical lymph node swelling, but definitely swelling. So he gave him an antibiotic shot, put him on an oral antibiotic, and gave him a shot of Toradol for the swelling, and wants to see him back tomorrow to see if there's any improvement. So appreciate your prayers for that what we've started will cause some improvement. If not, we'll check with the oncologist and see where to go from there.
Okay, so keep praying for Vern.
Yeah, thank you.
Daisy had her hand up. John?
Just an update on our niece, Amy, with the COVID. She is doing perfectly fine, so all better. You can take her off the list.
Okay, good. Speaking of COVID, Chris and Ray both had COVID, but they had the Omicron, I guess, very light, and they are both doing well. In fact, Chris did super well through it, which was a huge blessing. So when he talked to his cardiologist up in Ruby, they said, just keep yourself, you know, filled with fluid and you should be fine. And he was. So praise the Lord for that. Also, very quickly, before we take the next request, you'll see on the list the Zorix, and they both have COVID, but they are doing extremely well. Same story. Just it's not bothering them badly. So obviously the Zorix are very grateful for that, as well as the entire family. All right. Somebody else had a request?
The Hunnifords have two unspokens.
Okay. All right. We'll add Wally and Vicky to the unspoken.
And he said there's a Judy that's having an eye surgery.
Okay. And then we'll add Judy for eye surgery.
It's
we have
Judy.
A correction there.
It's Judy. Judy is her name. She's having.
Julie Letts.
Julie Letts, yeah.
Okay, all right. Julie Letts, she's already on the list. Okay.
Okay. All right. But her name is really Judy.
Okay.
Okay. All right, anyone else with a request or an update on anyone? Anything else? Lila, you have anything tonight? Oh, I embarrassed her. She put her head down. All right, you can add, well, my wife's name is already on there. She's working now. She works at Ollie's. I think a lot of you have seen her in Ollie's store. She just came home with a really bad headache. I think she said there was no air in there today, so just headache from that. So, all right. Now, as you go out tonight, and I think Vicki was passing out some of these, we have the Vacation Bible School flyers. So if you got some neighbors with children, you might want to take a couple of those and give those to those folks and just encourage them to bring their kids out. So it goes from 6 to 8:30 beginning Monday and goes each day of the week. Concerning Bible School, next Wednesday, I will be over there, as will basically everybody else. So there'll be no Bible study here. But again, we always encourage this, and some of you do come over if you'd like and be part of that if you would like to. And if not, at least pray for us that God will work through these folks, you know, during this time. Now, I didn't put a missionary prayer letter in tonight because I wanted to focus on the names for the Vacation Bible School workers, but we've had some updates on some folks and just some really, really good things going on for some of our missionaries, just real blessings. One of the things that we're going to see here on the 26th of June is Kim Howell. Kim Howell and her daughter Elizabeth, they're in from New Zealand. Elizabeth will be going to the state of Arizona, and she is a pilot. Their daughter is a pilot, and she's going to be going for aeronautical something or other in the state of Arizona. But they're staying up with up in Oakland, Maryland, Lake something Baptist. No, the church. Anyway, there's a Baptist church up there, and I know the guy, Grant Gurdon, worked there on staff. And I'm forgetting his name. Our men have been up there for an event. I can't think of the name of it. Anyway, they're up there with that church staying, and they're going to come down here on the 26th. And Kim's going to give us an update. Lewis could not leave New Zealand for the concern that if they leave, they may not be able to get back in, because New Zealand and Australia are extremely strict when it comes to COVID. And so they didn't want to take the chance of leaving and then something happens where they could not get back in. So he remained behind. But Kim and her daughter will be here. And speaking to Kim, I talked with her the other day, and right now she is cancer-free. And that's a huge blessing. Three types of cancer, and she is cancer-free right now. So we're grateful for what the Lord's doing. She sounded really good. So you'll get a chance to personally see her on June 26th. She'll be here with us for our morning service, her and her daughter. Tonight we're going to take our Bibles and go back to the book of Proverbs. You may or may not have been here since we have started this study here. And I'm going slow. I have no desire to rush through this. We are making it just that, a study, and trust it'll be a help and an encouragement to folks as we go through this. We're going to have a word of prayer again, and then I'll get started. Father, again, we're grateful for the opportunity to come out, and we walk into this place, and it's comfortable in here. The air conditioners are working well. We have a nice, comfortable auditorium to be in, and just want to say thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for all the good things that you bestow upon us. So many times I take those things for granted. I don't know that others take it for granted, but many times I do. Just thank you for your kindness to us as your children. We ask now that as we spend time in your word, that you would just open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things of thy law, that you would do that with the kids club ministry tonight, that you would do that with the teen ministry tonight, and everything that goes on in this building would be pleasing to you, and we'll thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to go back again for a moment to the verses that we focused on last week, and that was verses 10 through 19. This begins a series of passages from chapter 1 through chapter 7 that I call my son instructions, and seems like appropriate as we approach Father's Day on Sunday to hear a father speak to his son on several different topics, in instructing his son how to conduct himself, how to live, what to look out for, and what to pursue. And so we'll be looking at these tonight and through the next few weeks when we meet. So in verse 10, he says, "My son," and of course, Solomon wrote this book, so we assume that Solomon is the speaker here. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owner thereof." As Solomon begins to instruct his son, he gives an instruction, just a basic instruction. If sinners entice you, don't follow them. Don't give in to what they are seeking to do. I made a point of this last week. I'll mention it again. He does not say, if friends entice thee, consent thou not. Instead, sinners entice thee. But when I think about that picture in my mind, here is this young man and someone who probably looks the part of a thief. That's the scenario here. Somebody is going into a home or into some situation where they're going to rob someone, and if someone interferes, they're willing to take someone's life in order to accomplish, because, as verse 19 says, they're greedy of gain. They have this lust for money. They have this lust for material goods. They're going to go into this place, probably a home, and if necessary, kill the owners of that home in order to get what they want. Now, I just get this picture in my mind what that sinner would look like. It would not necessarily be someone that would necessarily cause the individual to whom they are speaking to have confidence in them, to want to follow them. And I mention that because I think the word here by the Holy Spirit is precise. If sinners entice thee. But the sinner, more than likely, is a friend of this teenager or this child, in which they are being encouraged, they're being enticed to go out and do evil. And the simple instruction is, son, if one of your friends, and by the way, they're no friend if they're going to entice you to do something evil, if this friend, this sinner entices you or attempts to entice you to do evil, don't consent to it. Don't give in to it. Don't allow this to affect your life. That's just a simple statement. And he goes into depth in these verses that we've just read. Now, in verses 15 through 19, again, I'll just look at those quickly. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. The emphasis here is avoid them, get away from them, don't get around them. And that's just good common sense. Don't even have any type of a relationship with such people. Go over to chapter 4 and we'll see these kind of instructions. The son to the father, my son, scenarios throughout the first seven chapters. In chapter 4, verse 14, again, Solomon speaking to his son, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of the wicked of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." So here again is another instruction. as Solomon speaks to his son, here's what you need to do. Run. Get away. Don't go that direction. Can somebody quote for me Psalm 1, verse 1? Anybody just off the top of your head, you remember that? I think most of you do. Okay, so I don't know if everybody could hear Heather, and I think Mrs. Nisley started to do it also. But there in chapter 1 of Psalm, or Psalm 1, he gives the same basic instructions. You know, don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't go that direction. Avoid it at all costs. Simple instructions. I gave the example last week of something that happened back when President Reagan was in office. His wife started a campaign against the use of drugs in our country at that point, and that slogan, which a lot of you remembered, was just say no. And again, I mentioned to you, I thought it was kind of a goofy thing. Even at that age, I was in my 20s, I thought, that's silly, no one's going to listen to that. But actually, the level of drug use in the United States dropped pretty dramatically just by that simple suggestion, if you will. And again, the importance of a parent going and sitting down with their child and giving them verbal instruction, don't do this. Don't ruin your life. Avoid those people. Goes a long way. Here's one of the problems with parents today, and I'll say this as a grandparent, is that we're too silent with those that we can affect for good. We're too silent. You know, you can go to your room and watch video games, or you can, you know, go play t-ball or whatever else you want to do, and there's little time, father to son, mother to son, or whatever, just spending time instructing their kids. The emphasis in the Word of God is on the parents instructing their children. And so for these first seven chapters in the Proverbs, it's my son, my son, my son, do this, don't do this, instruction. It's needful. It's necessary in young people's lives. They just simply need it. Now, what we're going to look at this point is this. There is an emphasis in these first seven chapters, and even into the next two, chapter 8 and chapter 9, deal exclusively with wisdom, as though wisdom is speaking. And in these 7 to 9 chapters, there is a comparative statement that's being made. I call it the way of wisdom versus the way of the sinner. Now, we just read the first one. You know, if sinners entice you, don't consent. Don't go with them, you know, to commit these crimes because of greed. Don't do these things. The way of the sinner compared to the way of wisdom. So in this chapter, chapter 1, I want you to note verse 20. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Here's the first of a number of instructions, not by father or mom, but actually by wisdom itself. And wisdom here is portrayed in the feminine gender. And I want you to take note of this. I think there's 4 or 5 passages in which wisdom speaks. They're all in the feminine gender as it's communicated. So we have that one. And then we have several more. Now, I want you to go to chapter 7 of Proverbs. I want you to look at verse 10. It's the way of wisdom as opposed to the way of the sinner. In chapter 7, I want you to notice verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. Now, here's a picture that is painted, and obviously it's done with purpose. The way of the sinner, and many of the examples given have to do with an issue that we find rampant in our society, and that is the sexualization of children, the sexualization of teenagers. Can I say this? I use that word, sex, and it was created by God. It's ordained of God. God gives the parameters in which intimacy is to occur in our culture, and all cultures have done this to some degree. But now that we said to God, we don't want you in our schools, we don't want you in our military, we don't want you in our politics, we don't really want you anywhere, you find everything just going hog wild into perversion. I'm not talking about homosexuality. I'm not talking about transgenderism. I'm talking about intimacy between a man and a woman, outside the boundaries in which God has placed for our happiness. It has ruined many lives. It's continuing to ruin many lives. And so there's an emphasis here. It's not an overemphasis. This is Holy Spirit that is saying, you need to instruct your young people, your children, your grandchildren, on the need to remain pure, the need to refrain from involving yourself in this kind of lifestyle. Now, it's a father to the son as far as the my son conversations, but many of the things that he is dealing with have to do with women and the attraction that a young man would have toward a woman. And so we're going to look at these comparisons. The first thing I think we're going to do is look at wisdom speaking. We saw chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. Go to chapter 3 now, chapter 3, and look at verse 13. Chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Now notice, wisdom is called she or her, feminine attitude. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. So again, the way of wisdom. If you'll follow wisdom, this is what wisdom can do for you. This is what wisdom can inject into your life. And it's presented in that feminine sense. Chapter 4, verse 5. Chapter 4, the fifth verse. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Go a little bit further here. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. So here again, wisdom is portrayed in the feminine sense, as something to be desired, something that is going to bring great advantage to your life. A father speaking to his son, wisdom is presented in this feminine sense. Chapter 8. Now, chapter 8 and chapter 9 are what I call the wisdom chapters. And notice chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. And then one other passage with wisdom speaking, chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Wisdom hath built her house, hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner shall get it to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth to himself a blot. So, in these passages, you find wisdom being portrayed, if you would, as a woman. Now, we're going to go back and read the passages about the way of the sinner, or what is referred to mainly as the evil woman. And so we're going to start in chapter 2 and look at verse 16. So just kind of stick with me. We're just doing some comparative study here. Chapter 2, look at verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go in unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. So here in this passage, again, you find, as Solomon refers to this woman, as the strange woman. Nevertheless, you know, a female, a woman. Chapter 5, verse 3. Chapter 5, verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ears to them that instructed me. We're going to look at a couple other passages, but before we do, I just want you to notice those last two verses that we read. How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ears to them that instructed me. The main responsibility is to the parents to instruct their children. There's also an onus placed on what we're doing right now with Kids Club and teen ministry. We're instructing children. We come alongside you as parents or grandparents, and we endeavor to reinforce what hopefully you are teaching them in the home. But I mention that because they still have a will. they still have the onus on them to make a choice. Will I follow what is right? Will I heed the instructions of my parents, my teacher, my pastor, or am I going to choose to go in another direction? That is a personal choice. And Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2 speaks about how God raised children and they rebelled against him. If ever there was a perfect parent, you've heard me say this before, it is God the Father. And yet we're told there in Isaiah 1 that his own children rebelled against him. Not all of them, but some. So the reality is, it does come back to the child. It does come back to the teenager. Are you going to follow the steps that you ought to follow? What path? Are you going to go the way of the sinner? Or are you going to go the way of wisdom? Their choice. But we still have the responsibility to instruct them. Chapter 6, verse 24. Chapter 6, verse 24. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals, and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. So here he goes a little bit further and talks about someone who is already married, already, you know, a husband, and he violates his vows and he commits adultery with another woman. And again, he had instruction when he was young, but he chose to go this path. And it's the destructive, deadly path. Chapter 7, beginning in verse 5. Chapter 7, verse 5. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the streets near her corner, and he went to the way of her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carving or with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Now, this almost gets depressing reading all these passages. I got one more. Chapter 9, verse 13. O foolish woman, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. All right, so you have a father addressing his son. And he is presenting two scenarios, a path where you follow the sinner, the way of the sinner, or a path in which you follow the way of wisdom. The way of wisdom, you know, will produce great blessing in your life. The way of the sinner, twice he said here, will possibly send you to hell. Now, you would say that's not much of a choice. But when people refuse to gain wisdom, they remain in a simplistic state in their thinking, and they are easy prey to these types of scenarios. And one of the things I wanted to point out, because Solomon portrays, obviously, and we're talking about sexual sins, you know, a young man is going to have that type of relationship with a young woman or a woman of some type, but he also portrays wisdom as a woman. And many of the same characteristics, if you would, that dominate the strange woman are the same kind of characteristics that dominate wisdom. And I just found that interesting. For instance, in the way of wisdom, presented in the feminine way, they encourage the person, the young man, to embrace her. Wisdom encourages the young man to embrace her. Well, so is the strange woman. She's trying to encourage him to embrace her for wrong purposes. Also, wisdom is desirous. She's beautiful. She's, in a sense, alluring. That's the way wisdom is portrayed in these passages. Well, a woman whose heart is set on being sexually deviant will also put herself in that position to be as desirous and attractive as possible. Wisdom goes about, and this is interesting, wisdom goes about the streets. Now, that sounds strange, because that's what a prostitute would do. She goes about the streets trying to lure people in. Wisdom, in a sense, does the same thing. Goes about the streets, says, come, come, come. Another comparison. Wisdom calls after men. And of course, the strange woman calls after men. Another. Women, or wisdom, cries after. Now, this is interesting. Wisdom cries after the simple. You who are simple, turn in to me, and I'll give you wisdom. I'll make it to where you're no longer simple. You're no longer ignorant. You're no longer easy prey to wickedness and vileness. So wisdom cries out after men, and wisdom cries after the simple. Of course, so does the strange woman. And then wisdom prepares her home with delight. There was a passage, I think it was in chapter 7, where it says that wisdom goes in, and, or maybe it was chapter 9, where it prepares like a feast, makes it to where, sure, I'd like to come to your house. Look at the spread you got. And what does the strange woman do in chapter 7? She prepares her house for her sexual escapade. These things are characteristics of both the strange woman and of wisdom. Both are portrayed in the feminine setting. One leads to death. One leads to ruin. The other leads to joy, to happiness. And Solomon is painting this picture and says, now what do you want to take? They're both after you. Which one are you going to go after? Maybe that'd be a good thing to sit down with your son or your grandson and say, let me show you something. You got a choice. Which path are you going to take? I think that's very interesting. At least to me it is. Now, he's not void of dealing with evil men. And so there are several passages in which Solomon deals with evil men as well. Again, we already looked at chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. Go back to chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And I want you to look at verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. The word froward means they are perverse. They are unwilling to comply with what is required. They are disobedient. That's a froward person. And Solomon says to his son, don't want you going after the evil woman. And because you're young and because you have these physical desires, and let's acknowledge this, that most young men have these physical desires. You are going to be bombarded by the world to go after these things. And they can be very destructive to your life. So turn your desire to getting wisdom, to beginning to prepare yourself to know how to deal in the world. But also prepare yourself for the evil man. He's froward. He's disobedient. He's going to do things that reject authority in life. I'm going to tell you something. Young people are drawn to that kind of an attitude. Quite frankly, I fear that even we as adults are drawn to an attitude of rebellion. No one's going to tell me what to do. You know, if the government does this, then we're going to do that kind of attitude. And that's not always right. One other passage, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And so here again, just simple instruction by a father to his son. Now, he also says, back in verse 8 or verse 9, he says in chapter 1, forsake not the law of thy mother. So obviously this is not limited to just a father instructing their children. Timothy would have been in big trouble because he didn't have a father who was saved. He didn't have a father who was interested in his spiritual well-being, but he did have a mom and a grandmother, Lois and Eunice, who taught him the scripture when he was young. Helped Timothy go toward God, and eventually he found Jesus as his Messiah and his Savior. We have a responsibility to follow these simple instructions. Now, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but how many have or how many are doing this? How many people, you know, go to I consider this a good church. I consider this a Bible preaching, gospel preaching church. If you've been in Sunday school, the Bible study hour, you know, we've been going over the biblical worldview. Listening to a podcast the other day, George Barna, many of you have heard of the Barna Group that does polling for religious issues. Out of Baptist pastors, now listen to this, out of Baptist pastors, only 48% of all Baptist pastors, be they independent fundamental Baptist or Southern Baptist or whatever, of all Baptist pastors, only 48% believe in a biblical worldview. That means 52% of Baptist pastors don't believe a lot of things in the Bible. I was surprised. I read this to our class on Sunday night, the New Beginnings class. Among Roman Catholic priests, only, I think it's 6% of Roman Catholic priests have a biblical worldview. Pentecostals, you know, I've had Pentecostal friends, you know, I do believe a lot of Pentecostal people are born again. They love Jesus, but there's only like 32% of Pentecostal pastors have a biblical worldview. And I mean, the statistics are staggering. The mainline denominations is only like 27, something like that. I don't have the figures in front of me. It's like 27% of mainline denominations, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, you name it, have a biblical worldview. In other words, they don't believe in a six-day creation. They may not believe in creation at all. They may believe that, you know, some type of theistic evolution. That means they may not believe that there is a literal resurrection from the dead. They don't necessarily believe in a blood atonement. They don't believe those things. And we wonder why our church is in a mess. And we wonder why so many young people, listen to me, why so many young people are forsaking God's house. Because they're listening to men who don't even know what they believe. You've got to know what you believe in your house. And you've got to come across with that spirit of confidence in the Scripture and instruct your children. You know, like a lot of you, my children are all grown, but I still believe I can have an influence on Katie and Chelsea and Corey and Chris. And I should. And so should you. I can't tell them what to do, but I can try to give them counsel if they'll hear it. And you and I should take that opportunity to do so. Now, one last thought before we quit here for tonight. I looked back through these chapters and found, you know, this comparative presentation of the strange woman and wisdom presented in the feminine gender. There are five passages dealing with the strange woman and five passages dealing with wisdom. Which one will you follow? Which one will you go after? Now, I'm not worried about you guys, what way you're going to follow, but I'm saying to you, there's an onus placed on all of us to make sure we are instructing. In fact, as we saw last week or the week before in Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 6, where he said, you're to do this every single day. When you get up, when you lay down, when you're by the way, every single day. This is your life. I'm not opposed to people taking their kids to T-ball. Not opposed to, you know, kids being involved in activities and things like that. But you know what? That doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And this mentality, well, they need to be developed socially. Let them socially develop here. Get the word of God into your children. Start early. Don't wait. How soon can they begin to learn? As I believe they begin to learn in the womb. I believe they begin to learn in the womb. So don't wait. Don't wait. You have the opportunity to instruct, guide them, steer them. That's your responsibility. It's my responsibility, even as a grandparent, as much as possible. So I just find some of these things very, very interesting. I hope you find them somewhat interesting as well. All right, let's go ahead and bow for prayer, and then if you can stay and pray for a little bit, that would be great. Father, I thank you for this Bible, this amazing book. Lord, not trying to make this hard, just trying to lay out simple truths that we see here in this book. So I pray that we would benefit from it. Lord, we all fail. This pastor has failed at times with my family. None of us are perfect. But I would ask you to help all of us to constantly approach you and ask you to give us wisdom in how to portray these truths to those that we love so much in our families. That while we come home after a long day of work, we may be worn out and time may be limited, that we would still take effort, Father, to instruct our children, even our grandchildren, in the ways that you've laid before us. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. We ask now that you would work in the time of prayer. Ask also that you would work as folks leave this place. Give them safety traveling home. We just stop and think about next week. It's a big week, as it is for most churches, with a vacation Bible school. We ask that your imprint would be all over it, that you would empower the workers, that you would do a special work here in lives. And we'll thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.